Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Preds Insiders, a special podcast edition of Preds Insiders as Pekka scores his first ever NHL goal Thursday night against the Chicago Blackhawks. Joining me to react to such a special moment and a special night in Chicago is Preds TV voice and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase is Willie Donick. Willie, last night you were in United Center. Obviously, Colin Blackwell gets his first NHL goal. John Hines gets his first win behind the bench for the Nashville Predators in a 5-2 win. But all of that overshadowed by what took place in the final seconds of that game. I think there were some people around town that may have turned the TV off, thinking the Nick Bonino empty net goal was the end of the game and they didn't need to see anything else. I know some people who did that. And whoever did that missed one of the more special moments in Nashville Predators history as Pekka Rinne finally scoring his first NHL goal last night.
I think you hit on a significant point, and that is that had Nick Bonino's empty net goal been the cap off to the win, that would have been a really nice first win for John Hines because it had the right feel. They had to go through some tough times during the game. They played a dominant first period. They're starting to implement some of the changes to the system that John Hines wanted. So that alone would have been a nice game. Then you could have talked about Colin Blackwell's first NHL goal, which was a really nice moment. But you're right. Everything got moved to the side when Pekka Rinne put that goal in because it is amazing. I didn't even realize how rare goals by a goalie are. Some people of our staff were looking at it. Elijah, our new producer, he was saying that it is quite a bit more rare than even a perfect game in baseball. There have been way more perfect games than goalie scoring goals. So that was a unique moment, not just in Predators history, but really in league history.
You want a stat, the official stat on goalies scoring a goal and how rare it is. This is coming from a producer with TSN 1290 up in Winnipeg, saying the likelihood of a goaltender scoring in an NHL game with 15 goalie goals and 58,736 NHL games played to date. The percentage of a goaltender scoring in a game is 0.00025%.
And then on top of that, I would like to look and see how many of the goalie goals are actually shots length of the ice. Because there's a handful of the goals that go off of the goalie, but then go off of another player and into the net.
Which is how Chris Mason was credited with his first career NHL goal. Although, I'm sure C-Mace, when people ask him about it, he's like, oh, yeah, I was right behind the net and just shot it, a perfect shot down the ice. And it wasn't, the pass into an empty net on a delayed penalty by the Phoenix Coyotes that night.
Yeah, so there's different ways that they go in, but it was a beautiful shot by Pekka Rinne. Just the strength that it takes to take a goalie stick and shoot it that far, that accurate, it was pretty remarkable.
So the Preds last night became the first NHL team ever with multiple goalies to score in a game.
Yes.
When I saw that stat, I was kind of surprised by that.
I was too. I had no idea. And you would think if somebody did it, it would be the Maple Leafs or one of the original six teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great because Chris Mason was not aware of that, I don't believe, in the moment that it happened. But obviously, he knew that Pekka was the second. But boy, his emotional outburst in the just right in the moment when it happened was really special.
Well, let's hear that. You talk about the moment of it happening. You guys, and I applauded you when you walked in this morning to do the midday show, just how just excited that you were collectively, you two, to see that puck go in the net. Let's take a listen to how it sounded Thursday night on Fox Sports Tennessee.
Crawford will go to the bench again. Rinne will try it. Rinne going deep for the empty net. It is bouncing!
Oh my God.
He has scored a goal!
Unbelievable.
That was yourself, Willie Donick, and Chris Mason last night. All right. So I heard a little sound that sounded like a high five. Did you guys high five after that puck went in?
No.
Okay.
We did not.
Okay.
But it was funny because you just scored the goal. So you're not thinking that moment could happen. But you do peek over. Fortunately, if you're doing it right, you look to see if Crawford, if the other team's goalie, decides to go to the bench or just stay between the net and concede that, okay, this game is over. Because there's less than a minute to go. There are some teams that just say, you know what, tonight's not our night. Let's just move on. But Chicago went for it, feeling like, okay, you still got time on the clock. Stranger things have happened. Score two goals in 30 seconds or whatever was left on the clock. But as soon as he left to go to the bench, you're thinking, okay, what happens? And we have seen Pekka try it before.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as it's coming around to Pekka Rinne, fortunately, we're both thinking the same thing. Okay, he's going to take a shot at this thing.
Well, he hasn't really come close, but there was one a couple years ago, I think against the Blues, where if it wasn't knocked down at the blue line,
out of the
that
air.
Thing was going in. But it was impressively knocked down by one of the Blues players, and we didn't get to see it in that moment. We thought maybe that was maybe the last opportunity to see him try to get a goal. And I think I would like to know, of the goalies that have shot the puck on their goal, what was the deficit for the team trailing? Because when you're only up one goal,
you're probably not going to try it
because that's pretty risky, only up one goal. But the fact that Bonino scored that empty net goal, it gives you maybe a little bit more wiggle room to try that. And I would say that was probably the top moment of the season for this team, and it's not even close because of the up and down nature of this season. You know, Peter Laviolette gets fired earlier this week. The first win for John Hines. Pekka Rinne's had an up and down season as well. For him to score that goal, it's got to be one of the top moments, if not the top moment of the season so far, right?
Well, it's one of them for sure. There's been a couple other good ones for sure, but that was a pretty special one, especially under the circumstances. And anytime you're playing the Blackhawks, that atmosphere is a great atmosphere. So even though the Blackhawks are down, it's still a rivalry. It's still a hornet's nest. The way that the Blackhawks were pushing late in the game, it was part of a big win, a very significant win, and a win that you're, like you said, they're hoping that turns the tables. It gets things going to a level that they have not really reached yet since really the first month of the season. And you also touched on this. Pekka was first to say this too. You don't, with them up by two, the circumstances were right for him to try it. That was the right play at the right time. And he said it was important that the puck settled and stopped. Whether if it's spinning around or twisting, then it's almost impossible to get the kind of launch that you need on it. So everything had to work out right.
For sure. So we heard your call. Let's also hear how Pete Weber and Hal Gill called it last night on the Predators Radio Network.
Under 30 seconds to play now. Crawford goes to the bench again. And Rinne takes a long, elevated shot, bouncing, and he scores! Pekka Rinne scores into the empty net. Predators with a 5-2 lead. Pekka Rinne becomes the second Predators goaltender in team history to score a goal.
Pete Weber and Hal Gill last night. I love Hal's reaction, too. Not as flamboyant as Chris Mason's was, but you can just tell hearing both calls just how cool that was to witness in person.
You just don't see it very often. I mean, think about how many games Pete has announced.
Sure.
And I think that's the first one that he's announced at the NHL level, a goalie scoring a goal. And like we were pointing out before, I didn't realize how rare that is. It's been almost 6 years since somebody did it.
Mike Smith in 2013.
Yeah. So I don't know what month it was in 2013, but I mean, we're talking about 6-7 years at least.
Right.
Or, you know, right around there, somewhere in between.
Well, we've talked about how Pekka Rinne has tried this before. Jeremy K. Gover, to his credit, has been on the prowl with this story for years, wanting to live the moment of seeing this goal. So last night, after the goal happened, Jeremy K. Gover wrote story on thegamenashville.com. If you're listening to us, go check it out, where he typed up the Q&A that he had with Pecorine back in September when he talked to Pekka about what it's like thinking of trying that shot. So to go back and look at Pecorine's quotes in that story that Gover put together, it's kind of fascinating to see those. And then now, just a few months later, Pecorine actually executes the play.
Yes, and he talked about it so well after the game as well, Pecorine did, saying about when you try it, when you don't try it, and that he and UC Saros do practice plays like that because it just helps you handle the puck. Both are very confident handling it. Pekka has always been one of the best puck handlers among goalies in the game, snapping outlet passes, you know, putting the puck up around the boards to try to get it out of trouble. So why not practice, you know, the lengthy shot? You do it. Mm-hmm. You don't do it every time, but it's almost like the half court shot in basketball, right? If you never practice it, you're not as apt to make it when the situation calls for it.
Right. And I co-hosted the morning show this morning, Morning Drive with Derek Mason. And we equated it almost to, you know, a fat man touchdown in football where the defensive lineman gets the rare interception and runs it back into the end zone. Or in baseball, the pitcher hits a home run, especially a pitcher that isn't good at hitting, i.e. Bartolo Colon for your New York Mets.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that was a big one.
Back in the day. In basketball, in college basketball, you know, under a minute left, it's a blowout, and you have the 13th or 14th guy off the bench who never plays, the walk-on, come in and hit a three. But just the rarity of this makes it, I think, all the more special for Pecorine and the Preds. And Robbie Stanley, I want to get to this tweet as well. Pecorine woke up this morning with more goals this decade than Tyler Seguin, Gabriel Landeskog, Shea Weber, James Neal, Matt Barzal, John Tavares, Sebastian Aho, Mark Stone, and Brad Marchand, among others.
Don't know if it'll stay like that for all those guys. But
I don't know how long you can keep it that way.
The decade is young. But, you know, it's interesting, too. Pekka has a couple of assists as well this year, so he's got more points than, I would say, quite a few players.
Yeah, let's hear from Pecorine after the game last night, talking about how special this was for him.
Oh, for sure. I'm not going to lie. You know, I obviously understand that, you know, it might be once in a lifetime thing. So I really enjoyed it. It was awesome feeling seeing that puck go in. To be honest with you, I thought that it's curving on left a little bit, and then it took a little correction and ended up pretty middle. I'm like trying to see it, and then Yosin and Bonino, I think they were going nuts, and it was pretty cool. I just threw my hands up in the air and tried to act as cool as I can.
That was Pecorine last night with the media after the game. So really cool moment.
And don't you think it was notable how happy everybody was for him?
Yes.
Like, that was not your normal celebration.
Yeah.
And it's the combination of the rarity, as we talked about, but also their feelings for Pekka, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it was such a great, authentic show of emotion.
Well, and the social media love, too.
Oh,
social
man.
Media
just
was on
exploded.
Fire for
exploded.
The 2 hours after that game with different GIFs and stats. And, you know, we put out the radio call, and it instantly caught fire on the 102.5 The Game Twitter account. So Pecorine scoring the first goal Thursday night against the Hawks. And big win for this team. You mentioned it earlier. They started really well, scoring 3 goals in the first period. That was as good of a period as we've seen from them in a long time. And then they didn't let one mistake snowball into other mistakes. They held on and got the 2 empty net goals to close the win.
2 big factors there. And then I think the third factor was that they just defended better. Now, they're going to have to do this against more talented, deeper teams than the Blackhawks. But the Blackhawks still have some really good offensive players. And so I thought it was good. And Chris Mason and Hal Gill were watching this throughout the game, and they were noticing it. The Predators made a legitimate change in how they cover in the defensive zone. They're trying to do what John Hines has been brought in to do, and that is change how they defend. It's not that they were ineffective in the past. The mm-hmm. system that they were using in the past was effective for them, but it had not been as effective this year. They were determined to try to put this in. They've only had one practice at it, but they saw some immediate results. I think they'll have some confidence that with the continued practice and repetition, that hopefully that will get better. Plus, they're still playing without 2 of their top 4 defensemen.
And that's a pretty big deal as well. And Ryan Ellis and Dante Fabro, once they're able to return to the lineup, that would be huge for them. You know, Hal Gill called it maybe more of a hybrid zone type scheme for the defense in front of the goaltender in the defensive zone. So it'll be interesting to see how they can continue on that. They practice again Saturday before flying out to Winnipeg. Huge game Sunday. I mean, the Jets are a team that you're gunning for. And when you look at the Central Division, St. Louis, Dallas, Colorado, those kind of feel like the top three teams on their own tier. Winnipeg is a catchable team in the standings and also a team that you've struggled with over the last few years. So big game Sunday afternoon.
Big game. And I think I would add the Edmonton game. It's somewhere in the mix here. You have to stay ahead of a certain amount of teams in the Pacific, too. If what you're saying is true, and I think that it's possible, like a lot of things can happen between now and the end of the season, right? We still got a long way to go, but there is a little separation right now between the top three teams in the Central and then the pool of teams that are trying to get those wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to rule out a pretty significant swing here. But I think for the Predators, you know, you got to take advantage of some of these opportunities that you have to play the teams in front of you. And I think big picture, if you can play at a pace that's going to get you into that 97, 98 point range, that should get you in there one way or the other. And as we've learned, just getting in is the biggest thing. The seed is a lot less important than it might seem on the surface.
For sure. Willie Donick, appreciate your time after hosting a 4-hour radio show and filming a comical Bojangles video for our social media.
Oh, yes. Make sure you see that. That is broadcast excellence.
For sure. So Willie Donick there, you can catch him on the TV call of things Sunday starting at 12:30. Their pregame starts, puck drop at 1. Our pregame on 102.5 The Game begins at 12. Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call at 1. We had to have an emergency version of Preds Insiders with Pecorine's goal. The next on-air version of Preds Insiders coming up Tuesday. We're off Monday due to the national championship game, LSU-Clemson on 102.5 The Game. But Tuesday leading into pregame coverage against the Edmonton Oilers, Tuesday at 6 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. That is the next edition of Preds Insiders, and we will talk to you then.